All right, amen. Normally there's Bibles on the table, but because we are going to be in different places tonight, I decided that not to put them out there tonight, and I have the words that will be on the screen when we get to them. So I just want to give you guys a heads up for that. If you're wondering, if you've been a regular, you wonder, where are the Bibles at? So anyway, welcome again, and Merry Christmas. Tomorrow is the big Christmas day, and as kids, we don't have to remind you guys, you know that as well as anybody else. But we're glad that you guys decided to join us here tonight. And what I want you to know is that yes, tomorrow is Christmas, but I'd like to point out that tomorrow actually marks the conclusion of a journey that we have been on. And the observance that we have been taking over this last month. With that being said, is that it's been a journey of Advent. As we've been refocusing, we've been reflecting on Christ's coming. His coming throughout the first Christmas and a long time ago. Yes. You want to come here with me? Something we've been discussing, his first Christmas a long time ago, and eventually his return to earth to complete God's ultimate work of redemption. All along the way, we have followed the star that's been guiding us toward Christmas, or toward Jesus, as it guided those wise seekers many years ago. So as we approach the manger ourselves this evening, I like for us to pause and reflect and allow ourselves to be drawn into that account that changed the world on that night long ago and even still today continues. So here, let's get started with this. Most of us, if not all of us, we love a good story. Right, we go through a lot of stories, and a lot of us have probably sat around with our family on Christmas Eve, and we've heard tales of Christmases past, or on other occasions that we've been together, and we've talked about, you probably talked about traditions that you guys have had, and the family time surrounding the holidays, and what that does is that can bring a unique opportunity to retell and listen to the stories that form our lives. Now, throughout the world, stories have been the means of preserving history. It's been stories have been passing along our beliefs and our values. They can be inspiring. They can be entertaining, and as well motivating us. And stories move us. Shared stories connect us, and they link us to each other. And they bring meaning to our lives, and they just help us make sense of our experiences. Good stories, if we've been involved with good stories with our family, we know that some of these stories can be messy, right? They can be full of conflict. They can be suspenseful. They can even be moving. We know that the stories can be full of victory and full of defeat. They can be stories of struggle and triumph. They can be stories of fear and of courage, conflict and love. Family members, when they do get together, often, when they tell these stories and when they meet up on these special occasions, their stories are as diverse as the characters who tell them. I know that when my uncle was alive, my dad and my uncle would get together and the stories that I could just sit back as a child and just remember what they were saying. And even though it was two different people telling the story and very diverse, very opposites, they always came together. Because what happens is, they all contain the basics of where they've been, where they are now, and where they're going to be going. And as we gather tonight on the eve of Christmas, we gather to tell and retell the account of the most epic journey ever. The account of the journey of God to earth that changed the world forever. And there is no one greater, there's no one more powerful than God's account, God's story of love and redemption for the world. So, be with me for a little bit here, and as you've been with me a while, you know, like sometimes role play and get into that biblical time and just think about this. So, I want you to picture yourself that you're outside. Just picture yourself, you're outside, somewhere out in the open, maybe it's on a mountaintop, maybe it's in a desert next to a stream, doesn't matter, just picture yourself there, and you're looking up into the night sky. Right? Hopefully you got that picture in your mind. Well, I'm going to add a little bit to it. On this clear night, long ago, we're back at the very beginning. Very beginning. We're talking about the beginning of creation. And into that darkness above, suddenly, God is placing stars into the sky. And they're glowing and they're twinkling, and where there was only darkness, now this glowing, sparkling light is what we see. And here's the thing, the Creator knows each of these lights. Right? He knows which ones humans will eventually connect the invisible lines into constellations. He knows which ones will burn out, and when they shoot across the night skies, they extinguish their gaseous flames. And He knows the one star that will one day pulse and glow and serve as a beacon to lead us and direct seekers from afar off to His newly arrived Son, Jesus. And see, this star would pierce into darkness with a unique purpose. It would serve as a proclaimer and as a heavenly marker. It would signal the birth of Christ, the coming of the long-promised Messiah, the coming to earth at last to change the course of eternity forever. This star guided wise men. It lit the night for the shepherds. It signaled to the way Emmanuel, God with us. It announced the arrival of the bright morning star whose light shines the brightest. And this light causes us to see Him. It calls us to draw to Him, Himself, to seek and to find Him. So as we sit on the edge of darkness this Christmas Eve, with light to break through, we reflect on this whole journey. We're going to reflect on the past, the present, and the future. This star leading us to Christmas, but the star, understand this, the star has always been there leading us. And it's going to lead us beyond tonight. And the light of God's love showing us the way to Himself lives and proclaims His eventual return. And as we've seen in Advent season, God's story is ongoing. The Christmas account spans of all history from creation to Jesus born in Bethlehem to us who are gathered here tonight. And it will continue on into the future as we wait for Jesus' return. And we spent a month speculatively waiting for Jesus' arrival at Christmas. We've experienced the truth that we are still in a season of waiting as God's account of love for the world continues until Jesus' second coming. And the account of Christmas is the account of what was, what is, and what is still to come. So, I invite you all to celebrate with us the birth of Christ this Christmas Eve and continue the journey deeper into that story. So if you've been over here with us for the last 4 weeks, you know that we have followed these stars on a journey that brings hope to the doubtful and hurting. That it brings love when we least expect it, but when we need it the most. It brings joy to the hurting and peace to the broken and in the midst of our own storms. Tonight, if we celebrate together as the star leads us, we're going to do the conclusion of all these journeys to a place where Jesus Christ enters our world and changes history forever. And as part of that celebration, we're going to look at the elements together of the story, the past, present, and the future, and how they apply to the journey of hope, love, joy, and peace. So, we began about a month ago on the Advent, we began with a journey of hope. And as we look back on that, we see that the thread of hope, this past, the present, and the future, the past, through many years, think about this, centuries of history, hope burned for a Savior. Sometimes hope flickered, sometimes it barely glowed like an ember that time has passed, but the people waited and waited and waited. And that brings us to the present. But hope was fulfilled. Right? Christ has come. God's promise was fulfilled in the birth, the life, the death, and the resurrection of Jesus. Today, we place our hope in the fact that Jesus came, that He died for our sins, and is alive today. And He is the ongoing source of our hope. But let's not forget about the future, because we live in the future hope that Jesus will come again to complete the story of redemption in our world and even in our own lives. So the story is not over yet. And even when darkness rages and deepens around us, we can hold on to that hope that Christ will complete His ultimate work. And everything, all things will be made right. There's a singer, and he's also a songwriter named Josh Girls. I think I pronounced the name Girls. And he wrote these words in a song called Father Alone. He's going to give you a couple of verses, and I will not sing it, but I'll read it to you. Tempted and tried, I wondered why. The good man dies, the bad man thrives. And Jesus cries because he loves them both. We're all castaways in need of rope, hanging on by the last threads of our hope. See, it's true that we're all castaways in need of rope. We're there, right? We need to be saved. Our hope this Christmas season is not a hope for something maybe a little nicer or a little bit more exciting than last year, right? It's a much deeper hope for the desperate of spirit. Our very lives are on the line. And we put our desperate hope in the only thing, the only person that can save us. So my question to you is a couple questions. Do you feel that you're hanging on by the last threads of hope? And here's the thing. The good news of the journey of hope is that it's just like on that first Christmas Eve when the darkness seems deepest. Because when the darkness seems deepest, that's when God shows up. And if you're a follower of Christ, you know exactly what I'm talking about. It's like this. If you ever open up a book and you start reading in the middle of it, or maybe you started, you know, maybe you're like me, not much in a book reading, but you watch a movie, but you would click through scene to scene, not really watch the whole scene, but you go through it all. That story may not make much sense doing it that way. And you may not understand where it's going on or where the story is going. But where you are in that story, where I am in that story, doesn't actually change the story itself. The story is ongoing. It is the same in the past, the present, and the future. No matter which part you're engaged in, no matter what part you're in, no matter where you are in your life today, that story never changes because there's always that hope that is there. And tonight, again, as we celebrate Christmas Eve, let's place our hope in the God who never changes, whose story is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Our hope in Him will be fulfilled. Then in the second week, led us to a journey of love. Again, this is the story is one that spans eternity, since God is love. Right? But on this Advent journey, we have seen the same threads of the past, the present, and the future. So as long as God is, there has been and is love. That's not a pronunciation problem here. As long as God is, has always been. It's fueled by His creation. It drove Him to make a way to restore humanity to a relationship with Himself. And at a specific point in past history, motivated by this intense love, God sent His Son among us. Today, from the present, love fuels our relationship with God. It's our motivation. And here's the thing. We live out the love of God in us by loving others. God lives through you to love others the way He loves you. And as we look to the future, that future day when God's love story is complete, and we're going to live with Him eternally with Him, this will be life fulfilled in perfect love. How do I know that? There's some scripture. We're going to have it on the screen here. It says 1 John 4:9-11:16. And it says this. In this, the love of God was made manifest among us. That means it was made known to us, right? That God sent His only Son into the world so that we might live through Him. In this love, not that we have loved God, but that He loved us and sent His Son to be the propitiation for our sins, which means He was our payment. He's the one that died for us for our sins, right? So it says, beloved, if God has so loved us, we also ought to love one another. And then verse 16 says this. So we have come to know and to believe the love that God has for us. God is love, and whoever abides in love abides in God, and God abides in him. Tonight, as we continue on this journey of love, let's rejoice in this amazing love that God has for us, that who gave up everything. He gave up everything to be with us, to show us His love. He gave up everything. Church, I don't know if you understand this. He was in heaven. Perfect as God possibly could be there with everything at His disposal, but He left heaven because He loved us to come down here in a sin-sickened world to die for us, to be born in a manger, but then eventually die for us. His love is real, and I can tell you that His love is here now. Then the third week, we had a third journey of Advent that's been a journey of joy. And we know from the angel's announcement on that first Christmas that the birth of Christ was a joyful event. The scripture will be up on the screen again. It says, "An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were filled with great fear. And the angel said to them, 'Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy.'" Great joy, mind you, "that will be for all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you, that you will find a baby wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger." The path of this is this. The good news of this great joy was that Jesus, the Savior of the world, was born. This joyous event broke through the darkness and drove out the fears of those shepherds. Just as it replaces our own fear in the midst of our darkness, in the midst of our troubles, in the midst of our tribulations. In the present, the joy for us today is that the same message of good news is for us now, today, as it was for them back at the beginning. And Jesus offers us the same salvation of life that he came to give through his birth, death, and resurrection. It is the source of the greatest joy possible. In the future, in that present and future, is that while we still live in a world where joy and pain coexist. And what do I mean by pain? That means your joy, that means your pain would be anything, your trials, your tribulations, anything you're going through. It's there. It doesn't leave us. It's always there. There's nothing that's going to stop that until He returns. We're going to have the joy that we have, and I'll explain that in a second, but we're going to have to know that the pain, that trials, that tribulations will always be there with us. But God's promise is that our joy will be made complete in the future when He comes again. It fuels us along the way, standing as this complete contrast to the death and despair that we live in our broken world. See, the difference between, people ask me this, what's the difference between happiness and joy? Well, I'll give you one main thing. Happiness is fleeting. It comes and goes. It depends on your mood. It depends on your situation. But joy is always there. Why is that? Because here's the thing. If you have Jesus in your life, He's also in the midst of your circumstances. And if anyone knows you better than anyone, is Jesus Himself. So as we continue on our journey of joy, let's rejoice with the angel who announced the arrival of the long-awaited Savior. Joy leads us to worship. Does that make sense? That joy is sparked by and is drawn from worship as we tune our spirits to God's. Matthew 2, it's not on the screen, but Matthew 2 says this, when they saw the star, they rejoiced exceedingly with great joy. And going into the house, they saw the child with his mother, and they fell down and worshipped him. We worship Jesus because of what He has done, the joy that He's given us that's in our lives. We worship Him because we want to worship Him. We should want to worship Him because we don't live in that sin world that's going to always have us down and always give us despair. Yes, you're going to go through your problems. You're going to have your situations and your circumstances. But Jesus is there. The joy there is going to help you get you through it. Then the journey of peace has been our fourth and final journey of Advent. You think about that word peace. It's so obscure, right? It's in our local news and world events. You don't hear about it. You know what? Sometimes peace is so obscure even in our own family relationships. And even more, sometimes in our own minds. Because everywhere we look, there's indications of a desperate need for peace. Yet there and everywhere, we again see that God's peace is throughout the complete storyline of eternity. There in the past, the arrival of the Prince of Peace in that manger. And this is what we celebrate today. Peace has come. Peace is here. See, peace is not a feeling. Peace is a person. And that peace is Jesus. In the present, where we are today, fortunately, peace remains. It's still here. Jesus has left us the gift of His peace through His Holy Spirit, a peace that exceeds our full understanding in our worst circumstances. A peace that guards and restores our hearts and our minds. So as we look to the future, we still expectantly wait, knowing that when He comes again, He will bring that ultimate peace for the whole world. Peace among nations, peace among enemies, peace to reign over and within every one of our hearts. So as we follow this star of journey of peace, we realize that again, it's not a journey away from pain, the pain and suffering in our lives. It's still there, right? We still have those things. I mean, but think of the state of that first Christmas. We talked about this last week, but think about that. The first Christmas, right? There was noise, there was hurt, there was pain. Remember, Jesus was born what? In an animal shelter, basically. It was crowds there. Everybody was out there. There was a lot going on. There was a lot of hurt, a lot of struggle. And here's the thing. Yet the Prince of Peace came in the midst of it all. And our journey of peace this season does not take us away from the realities of life. They're there. They're always going to be there until He returns. It's a journey of peace in the midst of all of our challenges and our life's challenges that come up with us. If you read the scriptures, you know that Jesus' own life was filled with hardships. They were trying to kill Him just about every time we opened the Word. They wanted Him dead. And He knew that if His followers, back then and of today, are not immune from it. So He gave them the gift of peace. The last scripture I want to put on here is John 14:27. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. Not as the world gives, do I give you. Let not your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid. That is some ultimate news for us. Because in a world that desperately needs peace, God promises that His peace that is beyond understanding will be with us as well. It's not on the screen, but listen to this. Paul wrote this in Philippians 4:7. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. We don't understand why. We can't figure it out, the reason why. But God, His Holy Spirit, has given us this peace. So as we continue on this journey of peace, let's rest in the fact that in a world full of violence, in a world full of noise, in a world full of pain, God offers us His deep and lasting peace. And the peace He brings, which comforts us in the midst of our lives, in the midst of our storms and what's going on, will one day be complete in our hearts and in our world. And we have followed that star. And now we've come to the end of Advent. And the journey of hope, the journey of love and joy and peace has led us to the same place, a manger in Bethlehem, where the source of all the good gifts lies. Jesus, the Son of God, is our hope, is our joy, is our love, is our peace. The star marked Jesus' arrival. But guess what? He is the true light of the world. Because later on in Jesus' life, He taught His disciples that He had come as the light of the world. John explains this in John 8:12. He says, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. That right there is, if you follow Christ, bank on it. Here in Advent, the verge of Christmas, looking forward to the days to come, we follow Jesus, who leads us, He gives us the light of life. So here's my thing to you. No matter how dark your life is right now, no matter where you find yourself, no matter what pain or sadness you may feel, the star light shines for you. It is God's invitation to come and experience His story, His past, present, and future. And as the words of the song We Three Kings say, O star of wonder, star of night, star of royal beauty bright, westward leading, still proceeding, guide us to that perfect light. And this Advent, that star has done just that. It's led us to God's perfect light. So let's allow that light to illuminate our Christmas, understanding why we're here, what's the purpose for us. Together, let's carry that hope, that love, that joy, that peace, that we head out to the world with our way lit by Jesus, the true light of the world. And as I close here, I want you to ask you these questions. Maybe here tonight, and you don't know Jesus, you don't have that peace, that hope, that love, that joy. You don't have any of them. But maybe you'd like to. Wouldn't it would be awesome that on that as we celebrate the birth of Christ, that tonight you say, I want to be a follower of Jesus, and that we celebrate your birth as a salvation to come to Jesus. See, I tell people that I have two birthdays. I have my physical birthday, which is July 14th, but I also have my spiritual birthday, which is February the 9th. And that's the day that I was born again. That was the day that God, that I came to my knees and knew that I was a sinner and I was on my way to hell. And if I didn't change my way and if I didn't believe in Him, I was destined to hell. But because of Jesus coming in a manger to one day die and be resurrected, I have a spiritual birthday. And wouldn't it be great that tonight that you could say the same thing, that you now have a spiritual birthday that's closely related to Christ's birth. Let's pray. God, I want to thank you for your story. I want to thank you for your past and your present and the future. The story has been about the star, Christ Jesus. So Father God, I pray that you would just encourage our hearts, Lord God, with your hope, with your love, your joy, and your peace. And as we follow your light of the star to your Son, Jesus Christ, this Christmas. But Father, maybe there's some in here today that have never experienced Jesus. They came because someone invited them, and I praise you, Father God, for them coming. But they've heard some things and it's their heart is stirring and their lives are turning and maybe this is what they need. And Father, and I know we don't do this, but you lead me to this, and I'm going to do it. As every head is bowed and every eye is closed, I just want to reach out to them. And if there's anyone here that says, you know what, I want this Jesus, and while no one's looking around, just raise your hand and put it down. That's all I ask. Just raise it up and put it down. And Father God, maybe there's some here today, Lord, that are followers. They've been following you for a while, but again, they just have lost some hope. They've lost that love, that joy, that peace. Father God, I pray tonight, Lord Jesus, that you would lift them up and you would carry them through this, Lord. Let them feel the comfort that you give to us. Let them know that you're there for them. And Father, I pray, Lord God, as we leave this place, Lord, as we get in tomorrow and we're opening up presents and we're thinking about ourselves or our kids, and let us not forget the true meaning. Let's not forget Jesus. Again, Father, we thank you for all that you do, and we carefully give you all the praise and glory that you deserve. And we ask this in your name. Amen.